Everybody turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 for our thoughts this morning. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we want to begin with verse 5, and this is what the Word of God says. And it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you and praise you, and I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come to your house and to worship you. I thank you for your people that have come. I thank you for our membership here at Lone Mountain and our guests and visitors. And Lord, I thank you most of all for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray now as I break the bread of life that you'll give me the words to say. You'll bring to my remembrance those things that laid upon my heart to say as I've studied. Let me preach with boldness and authority your truth. Father, I just pray that your word will speak to hearts this morning. Your children will be edified and lifted up with the word this morning. And Lord, be encouraged. I also pray, Lord, if there's one amongst us that knows not Christ and the free pardon of sin, that this will be the day that they are made whole by the precious name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless the message. Bless the service. May you be glorified. You've heard the request spoken. Pray, Lord, your will be done with each of these requests. Again, have your way in this service. May your Spirit move amongst us, Lord, as far as there be anything that needs to be done. May your Spirit have his way in our hearts so that it's done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We read this passage. I want to kind of back up. If you'll go to chapter 3, you'll read that Peter and John were on their way to the temple in the evening to worship, about 3 o'clock in the evening. And as they go through the beautiful gate, they see this crippled man laying there begging for alms. And of course, like everybody else, everybody just passed him by. But Peter takes him by the hand and in the name of Jesus commands him to stand, and he's made whole. And he begins to leap and jump and praise God, and people begin to come around and they're watching. And of course you have that great group of the Sanhedrin, the religious elites of that day, gather, and they want to know what the ruckus is all about. So they come and they see this, and Peter preaches, and of course, you got to remember, Sanhedrin and the chief priests, they wanted them to shut up. By the way, it was them that had the Lord crucified. So they arrest them. But before it's all said and done, Peter is preaching, and guess what happens? 5,000 people, the Bible says 5,000 men, come to God. Jesus still saves today. He's in the saving business. So anyways, we find here the next day comes and they ask him, by whose name and by what authority are you doing this? And you know, they messed up. They weren't very bright, because they asked a spirit-filled preacher about Jesus. So what did he do? He preached Jesus. That's what I'm going to do this morning. I want to tell you about a man named Jesus. Amen. Beloved, that should be our focus every time we come through the doors. It should always be about Jesus Christ. Shouldn't be politics, although I'm here to tell you, I have my view. Amen. But we come here. Brother Gerald had a good devotional this morning. We come here for a reason. And that's to worship the Lord, to praise Him for who He is. This morning I want to speak to you just for a few minutes about a man named Jesus. Now, his name means, Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And that should clue you in that Jesus is God. Right? Jehovah, Jesus, it means Jehovah is salvation. Also, in the Old Testament, the name means Joshua. And at that time, there were a lot of Jewish men that had that name. It was a common name. But God the Father named him Jesus to show us his humanity. You see, Jesus came into the world as a man. You say, well, why would he do that? To die for you and me. And you need to understand that, you know, God is God. God is eternal. God can't die. Men die all the time, and the reason they die is because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Death was passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. But God can't die, therefore He had to become a man so that He could die for the sins of the world. So, anyways, back to Jesus. His humanity. You see, He came into the world as a man, and He was a man, according to Isaiah, that was what? Accounted with grief and sorrow. You see, He was a man that had lots of sorrow while He was here. He was a man that was totally rejected by His people. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. You understand that Jesus bore our sorrows and our grief. You understand, He said this, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. You see, poverty, He knew all about it. We see poverty today. And as bad as it affects me, and it breaks my heart to see people living under an underpass, or in a box, and it breaks my heart. What really breaks my heart is spiritual poverty. Because there's truly a famine in the land. Not of bread and not of water. And there's a lot of folks that are spiritual poverty. But that name, Jesus, oh, what a name! That name, Jesus, when mentioned, brings blessing to those of us that are redeemed souls. That name causes the devil and all the demons of hell to tremble. That name gives us peace when everything is in an uproar in our lives. Oh, what a name. And I'm thankful I know that name Jesus because I know Jesus who He is. How about you? But not only did Peter tell them it was in the name of Jesus, but it was Jesus Christ. Now that word Christ means the anointed one. In other words, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Okay? So He is the anointed one. He is the one that was promised from the Old Testament to the end of the New that would come. You see, He fulfilled all prophecies and promises by God the Father. You see, He is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And it was through the name of Jesus Christ that this lame, crippled, Bible called him impotent, and that's what it's talking about when you're crippled, you're lame. This man was made whole. You see, the name represents his personality. You see, he came into the world for one purpose, and that was to die for you and me. You see, he and he alone could be the only one that could provide and pay the penalty for the sins of the world that God the Father would accept. Only Jesus Christ. Now, I wrote some things down. You'll notice there's nothing wrong with preachers that use notes and all, and I've got a notebook Bible. Sometimes I'll do an outline in it, but I wrote some names because it's very important. It reveals the personality of Jesus and His name. So I want to read them for you. Y'all want to hear them? I'm not going to go slow, but because there's a lot of books in the Bible. There's 66, so it'll take a little while. So let's look at the Old Testament and look at the names of His honor. Let's begin with Genesis, the seed of the woman. Exodus, Passover lamb. Leviticus, the high priest. Numbers, the cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. Deuteronomy, prophet likened to Moses. Joshua, the captain of the Lord's host. Judges, messenger of Jehovah. Ruth, the kinsman's redeemer. 1 Samuel, the faithful priest. 2 Samuel, the tower of salvation. 1 Kings, a greater than Solomon. 2 Kings, the reigning king. 1 Chronicles, the Ark of the Covenant. 2 Chronicles, the blood on the mercy seat. Ezra, the return from captivity. Nehemiah, the awesome God. Esther, our Mordecai. Job, the risen and returning Redeemer. Psalms, King of Glory. Proverbs, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ecclesiastes, the giver of life and breath. Song of Solomon, the altogether lovely one. Isaiah, the suffering substitute. Jeremiah, the Lord, our righteousness. Lamentations, the people's portion. Ezekiel, the river of life. Daniel, the ancient of days. Hosea, I can't even read my writing, that's pretty bad. And the former and latter reign. Joel, the refuge for his people. Amos, the rescuer of Israel. Obadiah, the deliverer upon Mount Zion. Jonah, the buried and risen Savior. Micah, the God who pardons. Nahum, our stronghold in the day of want. Habakkuk, the anchor of our faith. Zephaniah, in the midst for judgment and cleansing. Haggai, the smitten shepherd. Zechariah, the branch. Malachi, the son of righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. That's just the Old Testament. The New Testament, Matthew, King of the Jews. Mark, the servant of Jehovah. Luke, the perfect Son of Man. John, the Son of God. Acts, the ascended Lord. Romans, our righteousness. 1 Corinthians, the first fruits of the resurrection. 2 Corinthians, the exalted Son of God. Galatians, the end of the law and our Redeemer. Ephesians, the head of the church. Philippians, the name above every name. Colossians, the preeminent one. 1 Thessalonians, our returning Lord. 2 Thessalonians, the returning judge. 1 Timothy, the mediator. 2 Timothy, the bestower of crowns. Titus, our great God and Savior. Philemon, the Father's partner. Hebrews, the mediator of the new covenant. James, the Lord of glory. 1 Peter, chief cornerstone. 2 Peter, the bright and morning star. 1 John, the propitiation for our sins. 2 John, God's Son come in the flesh. 3 John, the truth. Jude, the believer's security. And Revelation, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That is who he is. That is the word's record of that name that we call Jesus Christ. That man that we call Son of God and Savior and Messiah. Amen. That ought to light you shuts. Amen. That's a lot of writing for me. Amen. I'm not too good at that. English was not my strong suit. I had to have 2 units of college English when I was going to school. I'm going to fess up. Good for the soul, right? Had it not been for my little brunette there helping me with college English, I couldn't have done it. Couldn't have been done. But anyways, thank you. I have a piece of paper. Got my name on it, but maybe hers should be on it too. Amen. Anyways, that's the name of Jesus. And that's the personality of the man. And Peter is standing before the Sanhedrin declaring who Jesus Christ is. Amen. That's the personality of the name. Second thing I wrote down real quick was we're told of his provision. Remember, he came and he died on the cross for our sins. You say, well, I get tired of hearing about that cross. Listen, if you're tired of the cross, check yourself. If it wasn't for the cross, we wouldn't be saved. I never get tired of hearing about the cross. We need to get back to the cross. Amen. That's what we need to preach and teach. The cross. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, I don't know a thing amongst any of you, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I know. The cross. You see, when He went to the cross, He died there. And listen, He died like no other man. Listen, there wasn't any other way of death back then crueler than the cross. And Jesus went there atoning for our sins, and because of His provision, He was able to say on the cross over in John 19, it is finished. I have paid the debt in full. And beloved, I am thankful for His provision. You see, not only did His death on the cross pay for my debt that I owed God and your debt and sins of all the world, but it also guarantees me through the power of His resurrection that I have been forgiven, and the penalty that He paid through the power of His resurrection, God has accepted. Beloved, I am so thankful for His death. But had He just died, that would have never been enough. God had to raise Him from the dead. And He was talking about first fruits here. Let's read that. Look at verse 10. It says, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by the way, they didn't like hearing that, and whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand before you whole. Now, it's true. Peter here doesn't mention concerning the first fruits of the dead, but the Apostle Paul does in John 15. I mean, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 15, I'm sorry. He talks about the first fruits of the dead. Well, you see, it refers back to an old wave offering in the Old Testament. You see, what they would do is when they would have that crop come in, they would have what they call a wave offering. They'd take the grain and they would lift it up before God, and God would bless it. And what it signified was, one, they knew where the blessings come from. And let me tell you, all blessings come from God. But not only did it signify they knew that it was because of God and His blessings, but they also knew it being a wave offering, there was more to come. So when the Word of God, when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 about Christ being the first fruits of the dead, what he's saying is, yes, Christ died on the cross, they buried Him, and through the power of God, God rose Him up, but because of His resurrection, there are going to be many more to follow. Those of us in Christ Jesus, when we die, and by the way, if He doesn't come back in our lifetime, you and I are going to die when He comes back. If we're laying in that old grave, these old bodies are going to rise. Now listen, our spirit at the moment of death goes to be with Christ. But these old bodies are going to be put in the ground. But they're not going to stay in the ground. They're going to come up. Some to righteousness, some to everlasting contempt, judgment. But they're going to rise again because Christ rose from the dead. So, beloved, because of that name, we have provision been made for us. God commended His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's some good stuff. But not only that, in that name we also have not only His provision, but we also have His power. His power! Listen, this man, this lame man, the Bible doesn't say how long, but this man, for years no doubt, was laying there in the Gate Beautiful, begging for alms just to get by. And guess what? It just so happened on that day, at that time, here comes Peter and John. Now, I'm sure no doubt he was expecting a few coins. At least that was his desire. Oh, what he got. What he got. You see, Peter, I can just see him. Get up. Silver and gold I ain't got, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And right then and there, didn't take 30 minutes, it didn't take an hour, it didn't take a day. Right then and there, immediately, he got to his feet and was healed and made whole. And beloved, that's what Jesus does. You see, He still has the power to change someone. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Let me tell you, this isn't the only one that the Lord changed. I think about that old demon there in Gadarenes. Remember? Naked in a cemetery, cutting himself, chained, couldn't hold him. He got a good dose of Jesus and he's sitting at his feet. He got in his right mind, he was clothed, and when Jesus said, "All right, you go and you share." "No, I want to go with you." "No. For God's greater glory, go and tell what has happened." That's power in that name. Bartimaeus, the blind man, kept crying out, "Oh, Son of God, hear me! Son of God, hear me!" Jesus heard him. Restored his sight. He was healed. That's the power in that name. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. A hater of Christians. An enemy of the cross. Saw a great light. Fell to his knees. "What wilt thou have me do, Lord?" Power in the name of Jesus. John Richardson, January 14, 1987, biggest drunk in Garland County, Arkansas, at my grandmother's trailer. She's gone. God put me flat on my back because I was playing church. I belong to the Baptist church. Biggest hypocrite that ever walked through the doors. God put me on my back. And I honestly, with all my heart, believe that he was tired of fooling with me. This was the last time he was going to deal with me. I'm at my grandmother's trailer. Everybody's gone. I flip on the TV. I would have never, ever turned on and watched a religious program. I did that day. And there was a woman on there. Everything she was saying is as if, that's me. That's me. Right then and there, I called upon that name. And from that very moment, he changed. You see, there's power in the name of Jesus. How about you? How about you? Think about this lame man for just a second. We said there's no telling how many times he was there. Jesus may have walked right past. He said, why would he have done that? Because it wasn't that man's time. You see, we all have a time, a point. And maybe you're under the sound of my voice this morning and salvation has passed you by, passed you by, passed you by, because it wasn't your time. But listen to me, now is your time. Now is the time. Amen? Now. What I'm here trying to say is, in that name, there is power. Now, Peter goes on and says this. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now, that is a messianic prophecy from Psalms 118, 20, 21, 22. And the thing is this. Israel, what did they do? Did they accept Christ as the Messiah? No, they rejected Him. They literally wanted nothing to do with this Jesus Christ in Nazareth. And they rejected Him. You may be under the sound of my voice this morning, and maybe that's where you are. You're willing to reject Him and the Word of God, but that doesn't change the fact of who He is. You see, you can reject Him, you can turn your back on Him, you can mock Him, you can do anything you want to with Him, but I assure you, He's still going to get the glory, and He is still always going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I assure you, even when we glorify Him and we bless Him, He gets the glory. And believe it or not, every time He is belittled and cursed, He still gets the glory because He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Anybody understand that? So He is reiterating that yes, He is the cornerstone that is rejected. And Israel did. These great, holy, supposedly men of God, these Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, had rejected the Messiah, the Anointed One, and they also rejected the message. You see, that was the whole point in stamping out the message. They thought when they got rid of Jesus, that would be the end of the message. But no, thank God, it was just the beginning. And that message is still being preached and proclaimed today. And then notice what he says, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice what Peter says to this bunch. He's talking about as far as salvation, there is only one name that saves a person, and that name is Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand something that he stressed. That word in that passage, must. You better get that. He and he alone is the only way to go to heaven. You want salvation? It is through him, no other. I know there's those that will tell you, oh, if you'll get baptized, that'll do it. You can go to heaven. If you'll be good, that'll get you to heaven. If you'll give your money to great charities and be great to humanity, that'll get you to heaven. That's a lie from the pit of hell, only through Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You have to repent of your sins. You can't wake up one morning and say, well, I ain't got nothing better to do. And I'm getting kind of up there in years. This Jesus thing, this heaven, I won't be saved today. Okay, Jesus, save me. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. There's a lot of people, we laugh. A lot of people thinking just because they said that, they're going. No, no, you must truly be born again. You must truly admit you're a sinner and believe with all your heart that God's raised him from the dead. And when you pray that prayer, that sinner's prayer, and ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and to save you, and you do it by faith, means trust, then and then only are you truly born again. And when you do that, he'll save you. And I'll go ahead and say it, you'll know you're saved. You won't need no evidence. You won't need none of that nonsense. You won't be jumping over the pews. Amen. You won't fall on the floor and start kicking like you got epilepsy. You'll know you met the Savior because you called on that name, Jesus Christ. Do you believe he died? Do you believe he was buried? And do you believe he rose again? Those are three factors. Paul said, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, doesn't say you might be, could be, it says thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all it takes. So the question is, this man Jesus, do you know him? Is he your Savior? If not, he wants to be. Now, let me just say one other thing. I remember my Uncle Joe Richardson was an old Baptist preacher. Preached Bethlehem Baptist Church, Jesseville, Arkansas. And his Sunday best, brother, brand new overalls and a white dress shirt. Wasn't no tie. Wasn't no dress pants, suit coat. It was brand new pair of overalls and a white dress shirt, and them old polished cowboy boots. And I remember we went to Uncle Joe's church, and I was just a boy. I remember, I don't know, you know, Baptists, we like to eat, right? They always, every time we'd show up, they always had a meal. I think that was the reason we showed up most of the time. But anyways, I remember one thing my uncle said, and he was preaching. It might have been Easter. We were there, and he's preaching about the resurrection. And I remember to this day, he's talking about the resurrection. And one of these days, the trump of God's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we which are alive and remain will be called to meet him in the air. And I remember him saying, you people, do you understand? There is a great getting up, morning coming. I've always remembered that. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there's coming a great getting up morning. But listen, if you're going to take part in that getting up, you got to know a man called Jesus. Is he your Savior? Take advantage while you can. The door of salvation's open today, but it could be closed tomorrow. Too late once that door's closed. So I urge you to come. Child of God, you're saved. You know it. You know that name, and that name is precious to your heart. It should be if you're a born-again child of God. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and just praise Him. Thank Him. Tell Him how much you love Him. Altar's open for that. But whatever it is that God is leading you through His Holy Spirit to do this morning, would you obey Him? And would you come? Let's pray.